Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Osiris.
It's your pal, Karina, calling in from the great state of California, from the county of Marin, saying what's up to my boy, my mainest dude, Isaac I Boogie Sloan on the East Coast. Isaac, tell us what it is. How you doing, pal? Great to hear your voice.
Karina, likewise, I'm sitting back with this mic in my hand, ready to rap with you about live music and hear about how it's going on the West Coast.
Dude, I love the sound of all of that. Sitting back with this mic in my hand. Sick Q-tip reference for those who don't know. That is just East Coast hip hop at its finest, which I do miss. You know, I miss the East Coast hip hop, even though I am very much living in a California state of mind. It really, it dawned on me that even though I've been touring the West Coast for the last, you know, 8 days, we haven't left the great state of California yet, except that all changes today when we are going to drive from Marin up to Eugene, Oregon. So that is exciting. Just the prospect of being in another state is like kind of hilarious because it's just been California dreaming this whole time. Everything is spectacular. We are on the second of 2 days off here, our first days off since we have arrived, which have been amazing. And I gotta say, Isaac, you know, there's something about the Bay Area that really does it for me. I think it is a magical part of the country. It might just be, you know, my specific crop of friends that I have here, and just like the it feels like family when we come out here. And I you know, it's probably just because I come out once in a blue moon, but man, I mean, you just feel so well taken care of while you're here. Everybody just bending over backwards to make our stay more enjoyable. It's like absolutely crazy. And played a super memorable, raging show in San Francisco on Saturday night at the Chapel, which was a venue I'd never been to before. Allegedly, it was a mortuary before it became a venue. So the ghosts were, you know, in full effect. And man, I mean, gotta shout out our, you know, my ex-podcast host, co-host, shall we say, Rafaela Kenny Chincota, my girl from Relics Magazine, who left the magazine to head to San Francisco with her wonderful boyfriend, Jared, who she was large and in charge at the show and large and in charge at this elaborate photo shoot that I planned for yesterday on my day off. And man, she is just a good human and a good friend, and I'm always thrilled to see her. And she sends nothing but her highest regards to you, Isaac. She thinks you are just the co-host of dreams. And I'm like, girl, we love you. We talk about you all the time. And she's amazing. So that was really great. I saw my buddy Kevin Gill, who is he used to be the voice of Juggalo Championship Wrestling, but now he's like a commentator, a wrestling commentator. And he's such a funny, amazing dude, you know, who just kills me. He's like 6'5". Oh my God. Anyway, just the amount of friends, my girl Steph Port. I'm touched. All these wonderful people. My buddy Jai Wilson, who is the amusement engineer of dreams, you know. Everybody has just stepped in to make our stay that much more enjoyable here. So having a beautiful time. My cousins from Toronto happened to be in Marin for the week, and they picked me up from dinner number one last night and took me to dinner number two. It's just absolutely out of control here, baby. So that's my love letter to the Bay Area. Thank you all for making our shows here such a ravishing success. And we're just having a great time. And here we're you know, about to trip up to the Pacific Northwest. This is all with the great Marco Benevento, for those listening. And it's been a real treat to do this tour after not having toured with him for so long, just because, you know, he hasn't done a tour of this size since before the pandemic, or rather this length. And it's really just nice to be back and playing his music again with him. And, you know, we've played festivals and weekends and stuff like that, but there's something really to be said about the 2-week, you know, groove that one gets into. So big fan of touring the West Coast. It's just beautiful. The climate, the terrain, something different for the eyes for this East Coast gal. So really, really having a time out here, Isaac. Going great.
Well, you know, you're shouting out lots of legends, you know, Marco, Raph, OG Kevin Gill, Jai Wilson. But as you're talking, I'm just brought back to the Rocks Off bus that took us from the Fish Show on Randall's Island back to the island of Manhattan with DJ Ja Culture, who is our emphatic friend and a legendary New York City DJ who hyped up the party bus on our way home by screaming, "New York City, best city in the world," before dropping into "California Love" by Tupac.
They were the best of times. They were the worst of times. Just kidding. They were just definitely the best of times. Honestly, Isaac, one of the most side-splittingly funny moments I can remember was literally that. For those listening, Ja Culture, you know, he when we say our emphatic friend, we mean it. He really goes for it. And he was basically, you know, after this Fish Show at Randall's Island, you know, he was going through the boroughs. He was like, "Manhattan, New York, where you at? Brooklyn, can I get some love for Brooklyn? Talk about Staten Island, where's Staten Island at? Queens, I know Queens is in the house. I know Queens is on the bus." And these are all just people who had, you know, attended a Fish Show and are trying to get back home, you know, and this guy is revving it up, going, you know, deep, talking about the Beastie Boys, talking about Tribe Called Quest, Paul's Boutique. He's getting after it, and then he's like, "All right, New York, I love you, New York," and then he hits play on California Love, and we all just absolutely, like, I think I might have pissed my jeans, like, I don't know, I think it's one of the funniest things that's ever happened. You had to be there. And yeah, no, that is a very good, you know, sort of, it feels similar, because I'm so New York, right? I'm like, New York, New York, New York, and then I come to the Bay Area, and I'm like, oh, let me tell you about the Bay Area, babe, it's just great.
Go ahead. Please.
No, I'm just saying, as I wear my New York City Mud Coffee t-shirt, you know, I'm like, the beautiful
Mud
Bay.
Mud Coffee definitely knows how to party.
They sure do. They sure do. And, you know, for me, like, you know, we've talked about a lot, but, you know, the Grateful Dead, obviously, starting here, and also Bay Area thrash metal, you know, and it's sort of like these two kind of convergences of my musical background and life and identity that come together literally here. So, like, I'm going through Fairfax and Mill Valley, and I'm thinking of Bob Weir, but I'm also thinking of James Hetfield, as I do most days, you know, except here I could theoretically run into either of them. And it's just a funny thing, man. It's a funny thing. There's something in the water. There's a magical thing in the air, and I'll be sad to leave, as I always am. But what were you saying?
No, I'm just incredibly jealous. I have not been to the West Coast since the pandemic, and I look forward to getting back there. Our friends Melt the Band will be touring there in November. Check them out if you're on the West Coast and you're listening. But I was just going to say that this is a little bit of a tangential episode in general. I mean, it's been a little bit of a slow news week, despite, you know, Marco and yourself and Chris Corsico absolutely destroying the West Coast, which should actually be national news. I mean, if not world news.
Because, I mean, come on. Everybody needs to know. Absolutely.
But Karina, I had the pleasure of going to visit your childhood home today. And sitting down to tea with your parents. And as I, you know, for those of you who don't know, Karina's childhood bedroom is covered in ticket stubs from shows she's attended, we've attended, and it's really a remarkable sight. And I just picked a few that I thought, you know, you and I could just sort of talk about your experience of the show, the artist, and we could just kind of do a Throwback Thursday kind of episode.
I think that's just the most charming concept you've ever had. And I'm charmed deeply and touched, like, beyond tickled pink that you would spend the afternoon with my parents on the Upper West Side today, Isaac. That's just, like, bringing me home in the whole... You know, it's such a wholeheartedly beautiful thing that you guys can do that and, like, choose to, even when I'm not around. It's, like, the cutest thing ever. So, thank you. And, yeah, you know, my childhood bedroom is covered in wall-to-wall memorabilia for the shows that I've attended. So, I'm very, I'm on the edge of my seat to hear what you pick. Because let me tell you, I have seen some incredible music and I have seen some weird shit, guys. I have seen some, my fair share of weird shit. So, this is great. We love a tangential episode. Let's go, Isaac. What do you got for me?
Well, this is a real gateway stub right here. But I'm going to bring you back to December 29th, which was a Wednesday in the year 2010.
Oh, baby.
At Madison Square Garden, Live Nation presents Prince Welcome to America Tour.
Oh, my Lord, Isaac. Well, I'm glad you started there because it really was sort of a turning point, and it was winter break of 10th grade for me, and I spent every day, every single day of winter break of 10th grade, seeing a different show. And I remember that clearly. And it went, I'm going to probably get the order screwed up, so forgive me, but there was Gwar at the Best Buy Theater. There were, tell me, you're the Disco Biscuit scholar, three nights of the Disco Biscuits?
Yes, you attended two because this December 29th show was the last night.
There we go. And the first of the two that I attended was my first Disco Biscuits show. Is that also correct? I think it is.
That's correct. Yep, I remember that. We have a picture from that show together.
Exactly, exactly. And that was also the year, Isaac, would you tell me if I'm wrong, but that there were sub-drummers on that.
That is correct, yes. Aaron Alcoin was out sick, and filling in on drums, we had Sammy Altman on the last night. Sorry, I should have done this in chronological order. But there was also Mike Greenfield from Lotus, and also Adam Deitch.
Incredible stuff, man. I mean, just really, really wild. They were at Terminal 5. It was an interesting, it was you know, a fully immersive experience as a Disco Biscuits show tends to be. So it went Gwar, Biscuits, Prince at the Garden, followed by Three Nights of Fish at the Garden, or was it Four Nights of Fish at the Garden that year? Something in that
Three
realm.
Three nights.
It was
the 30th, 31st, and then January 1st, 2011, the 1-1-11 show.
Right, which is a phenomenal show with a phenomenal Cross-Eyed and Painless, if I'm not correct.
Yes,
mistaken.
Absolutely right. That's
and
absolutely right.
The Gumbo, I'm going to get to the Prince show in a moment, but I'm just really digging into that week because it's very rare that a week, you know, makes that much of an impression on you, or at least me. Like the fact that I can recite all the shows that I saw on winter break in 2010 is pretty wild. So there was also a Gumbo that Fish played on the 30th of that year that was absolutely phenomenal. And honestly, I think has my favorite Page solo in a Gumbo to this day. And I don't know why it hit me so hard. But yes, I mean, to be able to, that was my first Prince show, was not my last Prince show, but I knew come hell or high water, I had to be there. And it beyond delivered. Absolutely incredible. And you and I were not together at this show, Isaac, but we saw a Prince show together 3 years later, 2 years later, at the City Winery that was billed as a VMA's after party of some variety. And we sort of heard rumblings that Prince was going to show up, and he did. And he played from, say, midnight to 6 in the morning or something absolutely absurd like that, such to the point
I remember thinking, like, people were, like, leaving and other people were on their way to work just peering into the window of City Winery watching Prince and Larry Graham jam as the sun came up. I mean, it's kind of one of those things. I mean, of course, there's no stub from this show, but it's one of those things that, like, people have trouble believing that we attended.
Beyond. And it's one of those things that I can't even believe I was lucky enough to witness, you know, let alone we stayed to the last note too. And it really was complete sunshine by the time the show was over. And the attrition rate of people who can't blame them, you know, it's going on 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning. People were leaving, you know. So I don't know. I feel like by the end there, it was like us and, you know, maybe 40 or 50 Prince fans. Absolutely incredible. As everybody knows, Prince is arguably the greatest performer of all time. So to get to see him at the Garden for the first time when I was in 10th grade, followed by, you know, about to start, I think, my sophomore year of college, I believe, which is when we saw him at the City Winery do that late night gig. It's, you know, a privilege of my life that I was able to see the man perform. And he demarcates that incredible week for me in 10th grade like none other. So thank you, Prince. Thank you, Guar. Thank you, Fish. And thank you, Disco Biscuits, because that was a hell of a fundamental week for me. Growing up,
it was also, there was a crazy snowstorm in New York City that week.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that, but I just remember like the mountains of snow we walked through on our way to the Biscuits and from that those shows as well.
Big time. And I also remember, I don't think, maybe you didn't come over to my family's house that you went to today for dinner, but maybe our friend and my boyfriend at the time, Josh, did. I think we had mac and cheese for dinner before that first Disco Biscuits show, and something just didn't hit right or sit right with me, and I totally puked before the Disco Biscuits show, and then walked there in the snowstorm. And I remember the Guar show, I was covered in fake blood, and we walked from 44th Street in Times Square all the way to the Upper West Side in the snowstorm covered in blood. That was, it's a hell of a week to be alive. Hell of a fundamental week, Isaac. Unbelievable. Yeah, great one. Good awesome. Prompt. Good prompt.
The next one, I don't really know much about. I mean, I know the bands, but I don't have a, you know, memory of you attending this show. You know, of course, I'm sure you'll have something to say about it. It is on Wednesday, another Wednesday show, October 2nd, 2013. At Terminal 5 here in New York City, and it is The Flaming Lips with Tame Impala.
Oh, man. Great pick again. You're really hitting winners. This was incredible for lots of reasons. Of course, now when I tell people I saw Tame Impala open for The Flaming Lips at Terminal 5, they're like, wait, what? Because now Tame Impala outsells The Flaming Lips, you know, by the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. So I remember, I knew of them then. Lonerism came out a little bit before then. And, you know, I knew the band was awesome and they had a good buzz going on about them. But we got to see them, which was fantastic. And I remember, like, sort of the buzz after that show, people being like, man, like, there's this band called Tame Impala. They opened for the Flaming Lips last night. They're really, really good. And they were, and they are incredible. And what they have done for psychedelic indie rock has been insurmountable. So that was just incredible. And what I remember, Isaac, is that Yoko Ono sat in with the Flaming Lips that night. And the Flaming Lips, who have been, you know, known to have elaborate stage design, they had like some sort of mountain, if you will, on the stage. And Yoko Ono climbed up the mountain and did her signature Yoko sort of, I don't know, I want to call it cackling or howling or whatever. But it was very, very out. And I think a lot of people were put off by it. But I was sort of like, holy shit, Yoko Ono sitting in with the lips on a Wednesday. It's really going off. So
no, that's a really cool show.
Right?
I did not know about that when I inquired about it. I just saw the, you know, the billing, Flaming Lips with Tame Impala in 2013 and thought, huh.
Pretty wild.
I didn't even realize.
Another good one, Isaac. Another good one.
Well, you know, I think we should just round this out on an obscure but also very mainstream note. You saw this band at least twice in 2012. It's actually two bands, neither of whom I've seen, both of whom are definitely on my bucket list.
Wow.
They called the tour the Global Warming Tour. We are talking about Aerosmith and Cheap Trick at the Izod Center, July 24th, 2012, and then again at Madison Square Garden on November 20th.
My lord. And I saw both shows, correct?
Well, I mean, your wall indicates that you certainly did. I have a memory of you taking a sort of reckless car ride home from the Izod Center.
That's correct. That's definitely
that's
correct.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, that's my so of course growing up I was Aerosmith fan number one. I was so into Aerosmith as a kid, you know, and been very, very lucky to see tons of Aerosmith shows. The first being at Jones Beach in 2009 with ZZ Top opening, which was really fantastic. And of course, you know, over the years, I'd seen them a few other times, and I've seen Cheap Trick quite a bit, including at the Westbury Theater in Long Island and at the Ridgefield Playhouse in Ridgefield, Connecticut, and of course, opening for Aerosmith on this tour as well. So the main memory that I have from the 2012 Izod show is that my friend Bobby Aronson, the gentleman who taught me how to play guitar in eighth grade, who both created my life and simultaneously destroyed it. Just kidding, Bobby, you made my life. Love him so much. Bless his heart. Without him, none of this happened. So thank you, Bobby. But me, Bobby, Josh, and Julian, we all, Bobby like got his driver's license, which by the way, like, you know, I know it's like, right, we graduated from high school that year. So this is the summer between high school and college for me. And my friend Bobby, who is from the Upper East Side of Manhattan, gets his driver's license, which, believe it or not, doesn't happen very often if you're from Manhattan. So he takes his dad's BMW convertible and drives us out to the Izod Center. And having just gotten his license, he is a complete lunatic maniac of a boy, and I will call him a boy because he just turned 18, you know, and he very, like, I really thought we were going to die numerous times, both going out there and coming home. And I just remember him, the car had sport mode on it, which I think is actually a common thing. But at the time, you know, a bunch of Manhattan kids who don't know anything about cars, like Bobby's like, I'm going into sport mode, motherfuckers, and hit sport mode, which I guess just makes the car go more intensely or faster. And he was just speeding and being an absolute menace to society. And we had a great time.
It's actually kind of a bad story.
No, it's great. It's kind of great. It was fantastic. And, you know, I mean, Cheap Trick and Aerosmith are two of the greatest rock bands to ever walk this earth. I really believe that. So any chance you can be in the same room to watch them play from their, you know, expansive catalogs is a true joy. And it is something like Aerosmith, you know every song that they play, you know, and Cheap Trick, you know every song that they play. And it's just like one of those, these guys wrote some all-time tunes. And as much as you, like, you know, it's a bad story, but it's also such a classic sort of like end of high school, summer before college story, right? Where it's just like, wow,
completely,
you know.
Completely.
So funny. Like, to think back and us just being like so green to like, you know, driving. There was nobody who could drive, but Bobby was on that. And fun fact about him, he now has his pilot's license. So watch out if you're in the air. This guy is going to be blasting love in an elevator and running right into you. So bless his heart.
That's amazing. That is a great follow-up.
That's pretty good, right? That's pretty good. So Bobby, I love you, man. Without you, I don't play any instruments. So thank you. And hell, man, I fucking live. If that tour was happening like right now, I would be lined up around the block to go see it. Because, you know, those guys aren't going to be around forever. They wrote some incredible music, and I'm just a huge fan, man. I'm a huge fan. So that was good stuff.
I gotta get to see them.
Kind
of amazing that I haven't.
That's crazy, actually. As the king of the Legacy Act, I would really think that you'd seen either band. You've really never seen either band? Damn.
Never, either. Nope.
Wow. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I do not really remember seeing that at the Garden, but apparently I did. I know I saw a bunch of shows on that tour. I don't even know. Like, I guess maybe just... Anyway, incredible shit, Isaac. Really a beautiful walk down memory lane, and all these things are so formative. And if I knew then that I would be, you know, traversing the country playing music of my own and music of other people that I super admire, like, you know, I would have said, you're dreaming, man, you're dreaming. So it's a beautiful thing, and it's all just formative experiences that have culminated in, you know, a life of music and a life with beautiful people to make it with and to listen to it with, and it's just incredible. So I'm very, very blessed in this regard. Thank you for the trip down memory lane.
Oh my God, it was so fun for me too. And, you know, I think every now and again we can do this on the podcast. I certainly have a number of different boxes of stubs here. And, you know, I don't know, it definitely conjured up a lot of memories just looking at the plethora of options we had to choose from.
Insane.
So another time you're going to have to tell me about seeing Madonna, but I think we're out of time today.
Madonna at the Barclays, let me tell you. Great night. Great night. She looked less weird then than she does now, so that was great. And, I mean, what a queen. We can definitely do that. And we could do a reverse version of this episode where I cull through your ticket stubs and have you recall your memories in seeing all this live music, and you could tell everybody about seeing the White Stripes at Irving Plaza and shit like that. That's what I want.
I love to tell the story of seeing the White Stripes at the Irving Plaza.
Dude, it's so epic. I love to think about you there as a seventh grade boy. It's so good. This is insane, dude. This is fantastic. I mean, we should put a bow on this thing, but thank you to RJ from Osiris and everyone at the Osiris Media Network for putting us on. Thank you to Marlo Shankweiler, our trusty producer. Thank you, Isaac. This is fabulous. And if you're listening and you're thinking, when can I go see Karina play live, you know? Well, first of all, you can go and come see the end of this Marco tour. Come to the Pacific Northwest, Eugene, Oregon, Bend, Oregon, Portland, Oregon, two nights, followed by Seattle this week. And then December, baby. It's right around the corner, touring the Northeast, all the stops. It's going to be such a blast with my very own band. And, you know, we're talking Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Portland, Maine, Burlington, Vermont, Albany, D.C., Bridgeport, Connecticut. I'm probably even forgetting some stuff, but it's I'm really excited. Go to KarinaReichman.com/tour to buy your tickets now. It helps us very much when you grab them in advance, and I cannot wait to be out there with all of you. And Isaac, this has just been fabulous, baby. What the fuck?
Oh, it's been fabulous.
Thank you for visiting my parents for me. My God.
Oh, so fun.
How fun is that? That's just terrific. So great. Yeah, for everyone listening, we hope you have a wonderful week ahead. Cannot wait to speak with you 1 week from today. And the train rolls on and on, baby. Be good. Be honest.
Drive safe.
Drive safe. Don't go see Cheap Trick in the sky
with a newly licensed 18-year-old.
Totally. I like the image of Bobby flying his airplane, you know, listening to Aerosmith and crashing into other airplanes. That's just wild. Good stuff, everybody. Thank you for the trip down memory lane. Oddball episode. We'd love to see it. And I'll see you either on the West Coast or on the East Coast or somewhere in the middle. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a fan.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye, everyone.
I've been jumping turnstiles, hailing taxis with intent. Do you need directions? I bet it's not where you're from.
Osiris.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you'd cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Freights from the Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective. The only podcast you crank up to 11.
Hey everyone, this is Tuck from Fit for a King, an off-road minivan. Every week I bring you fun interviews alongside your favorite metalcore entertainers with my new podcast, Get Tucked. Join me every Monday with bands like Counterparts, Crystal Lake, like Moths to Flames, and many more. We play unsigned and undiscovered bands, deep dive into each artist's history, and of course provide the greatest breakdowns in current metalcore. Tune in to Get Tucked every Monday, out now through Sound Talent Media.